السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أفتؤمنون ببعض الكتاب وتكفرون ببعض، فما جزاء من يفعل ذلك منكم إلا خزي في الحياة الدنيا ويوم القيامة يردون إلى أشد العذاب وما الله بغافل عما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, I had an ayat in mind which I wished or had intended to discuss this Juma, which was related to something which was related to the Qurbani which we have completed, but a follow up of that. But just before the namaz or just before the azan, whilst making dua, a verse of the Quran Sharif suddenly came very heavily on my mind, and I asked our Hafiz Sahab to find the ayat of the Quran Sharif. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقَيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is describing or talking about the Bani Israel. Now there are many, many weaknesses in the Bani Israel. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has related many of them in the Quran Sharif, not for the sake of telling us stories that the Bani Israel were this type of people, then they indulge in these type of sins, then this was our reaction. It is not there for stories. Even though they are stories of the Bani Israel or people of the past, they are actually lessons for us. Now, in the very limited time, there is no possibility of making a full scale tafsir of the ayat. But after describing those weaknesses of the Bani Israel, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Just by way of explanation, that they too were given a lots of ahkam. The Bani Israel, just as the Ummat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was also given large number of ahkam, hukams of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The Tawrat was revealed to them. Hazrat Musa Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was amongst them. But their major weakness was this, that they accepted those things which suited their nafs. Anything which suited their nafs, which was pleasing to their nafs, which was a fulfillment of their own desires, then they accepted that with happiness and they fulfilled it. But those ayat or those verses of Tawrat or those ahkam which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed, which were difficult on their nafs, then they rejected those ahkam. Those ahkam were rejected. There was no fulfillment of those ahkam because it was difficult on the nafs. Because this nafs is a very, very difficult thing to suppress. We can do a lots of things. To kill the animals in the jungle, if a person goes with an AK-47 into Kruger National Park, then he can shoot those lions down. So it is easy to shoot a lion down. It is easy to shoot an elephant. It is easy to kill snakes and scorpions. But it is extremely difficult to kill the snake and scorpion and animal of the nafs. That is where we find our greatest difficulty. And this was exactly the case of the Bani Israel. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them a great position, or position of great honor and dignity in the society. read the ayats of the Quran Sharif, the number of in'amats and the bounties, the unlimited bounties of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala upon that nation that we call the Bani Israel. But they were always rejecting those ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. They were displeasing Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They were rejecting those ahkam of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Again the same thing. It was because of the nafs. Shaitan also was made gumrah because of the nafs. The nafs of shaitan made shaitan gumrah and go astray. What else made shaitan go astray? It was the nafs of shaitan. When Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala ordered shaitan to make sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, then he started giving proofs why he should not be making sajda to Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And one of the proofs that he gave is that خَلَقَتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. Oh Allah, you created me out of fire and you created him out of sand and dust. So the flames of fire, they rise high, and sand and dust is something which is trampled upon. So I am a person of more honor and position. Therefore that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam should have been told to make sajda to me. So now if this was not his nafs, then what else was it? Therefore the mashayikh have made extensive effort amongst those who are the true salikin, those who are the true searchers, seekers of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then they make an extensive effort to get this nafs of the salikin under control. Because if this nafs is not under control, then the person indulges in such kinds of sins that even shaitan himself becomes ashamed of that person. Shaitan says, Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e insaan par, Hansi aati hai mujhe hazrat-e insaan par, guna karta hai khud, lanat bhejta hai shaitan par. He says, I feel like laughing on this human being, that he commits the sin and then he blames me for it. They say, the devil made me do it. Like our famous cricketer said, that the devil made him do it. So no doubt there is an influence of shaitan, but the major problem that we are having is with our nafs. Now at present, we know what the condition is around the world. Around the world, the condition, who does not know? And especially when there's such an enthusiasm to go for the march. I'm not saying don't go for the march. It is a means. It is one of the means of tadbir. If it is done within the parameters of Sharia, then it is acceptable. But the enthusiasm that our youth and everyone seems to have, that our march will solve the problems of the Muslim Ummah. Now this is something that we have to take note of. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala addressing the Bani Israel says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. In other words, do you accept only certain verses, certain ayat, certain ahkam which are suitable for your nafs and accommodating? Do you accept part of the teachings of the prophets, part of the teachings of the Torah, and the others you reject? Some of it you accept and some of it you reject. So there is a situation here which we must keep in mind now, that there is a nation upon whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has showered tremendous amount of favors and bounties, but their lifestyle is this, that they accept certain parts of that teachings of their Nabis and of their prophets and of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and they reject other parts. One is outward rejection and the other is rejection by means of action. That the person is not making amal on it, it is rejection. If a person knows that namaz is farz 5 times a day, but he is not making namaz, then it is by his action he is showing a rejection. Although he will still remain a Muslim according to the fuqaha and the jurists whom we must be grateful to, but according to the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to go by the literal meaning, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that person has committed kufr. If the person misses just one salat purposely without any valid reason, he makes it qaza, then he has committed kufr, if we have to go by the literal meaning. So now here the person is showing by his action a rejection, whether it is zakat or whether all those sins which we talk about, when the person indulges in it, then it means that he is accepting certain parts and he is rejecting certain parts of the teachings of Sharia. So when they did this, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In other words, what else can be the punishment for such kind of people who accept parts of the teachings of the prophets and of the Torah or of the Kitab which has been revealed to them, and they reject certain parts of it, they don't make amal on it, they show by their actions that they are unconcerned, then what else can be their reward? What else can be their punishment? What else can be given to them except khizyun fil hayati dunya? In this world, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, humiliation, disgrace and suffering upon them. Humiliation and disgrace, that is their lot, and that is what they will suffer, and that is what they will get because of their acceptance of certain ahkam of Allah Ta'ala and rejection of others. Now keep this in mind and then look at our Muslim society of today. And then again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that about the Qiyamah, the day of judgment, on that day Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will send them to the fire of Jahannam, where they will get very severe punishment and azab. They will be returned to that fire on the day of judgment. So in this world also disgrace and humiliation, and suffering, humiliation, disgrace in the akhirat. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala goes further and he says that أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ. That these are the people who have purchased the life of this world in exchange for the akhirat. That they are very happy with the life of this world. That is why they are accepting certain ahkam and certain teachings and certain commands, and they are rejecting others because they are extremely happy and pleased with the life of this world. So now it is coming in confrontation. There is a conflict now between the desires of the nafs and the desires of Allah Ta'ala and the teachings of the prophets. So this person says, I rather purchase the worldly life in exchange for the akhirat. So then what will Allah Ta'ala do? He said that there will be no reduction in their azab. There will be no reduction, there will be no takhfif made. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ, and they will never ever be assisted and helped. Now this is the usul and this is the principle. The marches and everything else we can use as tadbir, but it is not going to solve our problem. And this is something which we have been going on and on saying, and sometimes we sound very foolish, or sometimes we sound very orthodox, and sometimes we sound people of the camel age, that we keep on harping and repeating the same thing. For what else must we do when the Quran Sharif tells us that this is what is going to happen? That if you are going to accept certain teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, and you are going to reject other teachings, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will bring about humiliation and disgrace and suffering. And no matter what you do, what kind of tadbir you make use of, what kind of means you adopt, but your problems will not be resolved. There will be no reduction in this humiliation and disgrace, and no assistance of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will come from anywhere, no matter how much you may try. We have tried all the kinds of marches throughout the world when it came to Palestine suffering. Our hearts bleed for Palestine, there's no doubt. But we know that every time we marched, more trucks and more weapons and more missiles and more bombs rained upon the heads of the Palestinian Muslims. Every time that we marched, another march of the army of Israel took place into Jenin, sometimes into Ramallah, and sometimes into Hebron, and sometimes somewhere else. And even in this very day and time, and in this very, at this very moment in time, if you have to go there, it is under siege. What has happened? Why no changes are coming? The amount of du'as that people must have made in the Haram Sharif, and in Kaaba Sharif, and in Mina, and in Arafat, everybody put together is making du'as. Why those du'as are not being answered? They will get the reward for their du'as, but there is something that is seriously wrong. And what is wrong is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that make amar bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. Call towards haq, call towards the lifestyle of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, call towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, call towards righteousness, call towards piety, call towards sincerity, call towards akhlaq, call towards your muamalat, your dealings, making them straight, and call people towards giving up in their life sins. Call towards all those things. Call towards the ahkam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and prevent and stop people wherever you have the power, wherever you have the strength, wherever you have the authority. Then use that authority and stop the people from doing that which is wrong. In our homes we have authority over our children, over our families. We have authority over ourselves. We have authority over so many others. Wherever we can use it to stop them from those sins, we have to do it. If not, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has warned that even the pious ones amongst you are going to make dua, but their duas are not going to be accepted. So how much of changes are coming? This is what we have to see. This is an age of analyzing. We say analysis. He is a political analyst. This person is an economic analyst. There are so many different kinds of analysts. In the same way, we have to analyze the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in and see that what was it that gave them such victory and such success. If we have to look at the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram, there is no doubt we will come to the conclusion that that was the glorious era of Islam. When Islam was on the march, that glorious era of Islam, who was it that was leading that march of Islam? They were those very people who we will call fundamentalists, who we will call orthodox, whom we will call people of the camel age. But they were the ones who were leading the march of Islam, and territories upon territories were falling at their feet. If we have to analyze that whole period of history, again, keep in mind what I mentioned earlier on, فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. That when you're going to accept certain ahkam of Allah Ta'ala, and when you're going to reject others, then there will be nothing but disgrace and humiliation. There is no doubt that at present, the Muslim Ummah is suffering such kind of disgrace and humiliation that we never ever experienced anything like that in the past. Yet we have the greatest amount of ammunition and weapons and armies and countries and everything we have. But the humiliation and disgrace is such that we have to take our begging bowls and say, oh, United Nations, please come to our assistance. And sometimes, oh, you, our neighbor, how can you side the enemy? Please come to our assistance. This is our condition, every part of the world, especially where those countries for which we are marching. But look at the lifestyle of the people after having suffered such kind of bombing and disaster in the 91 war and so many other wars which they have seen. After all those disasters, if you have to go and look at Kuwait, you have to go and look at Iraq, you have to go and look at all those countries there, there is nothing but exactly a reflection of this ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which it says that do you accept certain laws of Allah Ta'ala and reject others? What else could be the punishment? What else could be coming upon such a nation and such a people who profess their belief in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? But when they are accepting only certain ahkam and rejecting others, then what else can be their punishment except humiliation and disgrace in this world and disgrace in the akhirat, and no kind of assistance and help from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and no reduction in their punishment? That is a promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's an ayat of the Quran Sharif, which I have explained. So look at all those countries. Somewhere they will say, we chop the hand off. It's an Islamic hukam to chop the hand off. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, we are extremely happy and pleased that we have a country in the world where they chop the hand off after proper proof. And then again, in that same country, you go to the hotel rooms and you go to the foyers and you go to all those homes which were at one time, or many of which were at one time, the same area and place where the homes of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in was. Our hujjaj, it is very easy to encourage a person to go for Hajj. I mentioned in one majlis the other night here that if you give a little bit of virtues of Hajj, every person gets ready to go for Hajj. And in fact, if you have to offer free tickets for Hajj, then the person will go very, very speedily. So many people tell us, if only I had the money, I will go away for Hajj. MashaAllah, very good idea, very good jazbah. But then if you have to tell those hujjaj who assemble in millions, that now that you will be returning from Arafat, since none of them have come back here, so therefore I'm addressing myself and those who are amongst us and wherever the voice will reach, that if you have to tell the hujjaj that now you will be coming back with this label of Haji Sahib, and you were tearing and crying in Arafat, and you were asking Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of your sins, and you were begging Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to remove the difficulties and calamities of the Ummah, and you were praying for so many other things, and those tears which you were shedding at the Rosa Mubarak, were they only for those places? Now when you will be returning, will you still continue with your watching of the filth and your reading of the filthy magazines and your missing out on namazes? How many Haji sahibs, whilst the sporting matches are going on, these cricket matches are going on, how many thousands of Haji sahibs are missing out on all their namazes? Not one, all their namazes. One friend of mine from Cape Town, he wanted to know whether it is okay and permissible if I go to the cricket ground and at the namaz time I go one side and make my namaz. And he said that I went for the match between West Indies and South Africa and I did go away one side and I made my namaz. But there were a large number of people, he says, I know the people of Cape Town, he says, and there were a large number of them who remained seated on their seats right from Zohar or from lunch break right up till the finishing time. Thousands of them, thousands of Muslims. And yet when you will tell these Muslims of ours that now you must march for Iraq, then you will see the jazba of Iman. Everybody has got such great Iman that the whole country will march. But we can't march against this nafs of ours. Will Allah Ta'ala's help and mercy ever come if we are going to miss namaz, which is the fundamental pillar of Islam? And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Man tarakaha faqad hadama ad-deen. Now throughout the country, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must give us hidayat. What I am getting across to you repeatedly is this, that we will never ever succeed until we return to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and we accept all His ahkam. After that there will be weakness. We are not saying there won't be weakness. But this is not a weakness, it is not an accidental sin. The person who has planned beforehand, I will go to the cricket ground and I will not be making my salat of Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. Can that be an accidental sin? Did those people plan that no, we will go and make our namaz when the time comes, but accidentally if sometimes we slip up, then we will cry over our sin and then we are not going to go there again because it made us miss the namaz. Besides all the other factors which are haram, but we are talking about missing out on namaz, but we want the assistance and the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to come. Why? Because we marched on the streets. So I'm not saying again, don't misunderstand me, that we must not make use of tadbir, we must not make use of the means. Our hearts are also bleeding. It's not that I have got no pain in my heart for what is happening to the Muslims. Sometimes aches in such a way that we don't enjoy our food, we don't enjoy our sleep. When you read about the sufferings of the Palestinians and the sufferings of the Ummah around the world and around the globe, and the murders and the killings and the... So the concern is there, but how are we going to now change that condition? And yet if some alim did not participate in the march, or some other person said that no, I instead of the march I would prefer go and read Yasin Sharif and make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that person will be given all kinds of titles and labels. You've got no concern of the Muslim Ummah. When it comes to masajid, when we say fill up the masajid, fill them up at the time of Fajr, fill them up at other times, and give up this open rebellion, we have to give it up. Open rebellion Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not like. Accidental sins, there is some scope for it. But open rebellion, when large number of our young and old are shaving their beards every day, and this Mubarak sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is not just an ordinary sunnat. It is not something that is declared as one of the sunnat-e adiyah. This is that sunnat on which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized. Now it is, you won't find one Muslim in the entire ummah in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who did not keep the beard. Now that is open rebellion, that we are saying, oh Allah, we don't like the face of my beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Whereas the poet says اگر داڑھی کے رکھ دینے سے چہرہ بدنما ہوتا تو پھر داڑھی میرے سرکار کی سنت نہیں ہوتی. If our faces were going to look ugly by keeping the beard, then the beard would not have been a sunnat of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whose face can be better than the face of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now this is just one example I gave. Now what does that affect our business? If a person has to keep his beard, does it affect the business? Does it affect his anything else in his life? At the most, his wife will say, "I don't like you with your beard." Then he can say, "Yes, you don't like me. Don't like me. As long as my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam likes me, as long as my Allah likes me, as long as on the day of Qiyamah I can say, 'Tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon, tere mehboob ki ya Rab shabahat leke aaya hoon, haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hoon.'" And again I repeat that it is not that a person who keeps the beard then he becomes very pious and very holy and very righteous, but at least outwardly is not showing rebellion. I was going to do an analysis of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajmain's life in a few minutes, that what do we find in their life, an analysis, because we said that this is an age of analyzing and analysis. Inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala gives me strength, health and the courage to speak to you again next week, then inshallah I will do that analysis. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of making amal. May Allah Ta'ala give us the himmat and the courage of lions against our nafs and shaitan. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the ummah, and especially at present these evil intentions and planning and plotting of America and its allies against Iraq, which was the cradle of Muslim civilization at one time. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala must either give hidayat to those enemy forces, or Allah Ta'ala must destroy them and shake them up like He shook the Aad and Samud. We have to carry on with our du'as too, we have to increase our amal too, and we have to start accepting all Allah Ta'ala's ahkam and not accepting some and rejecting some. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.